We open our Bibles together this morning to the Word of God in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And our text for the morning will be the 24th verse of the chapter. And this is the part of the last vision that John will see on the island of Patmos, the completion of all things in the new heaven and the new earth. Reading then of the sure and gracious hope that is set before us. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardox, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, chrysosulfas, the 11th, a janus, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate, every several gate was of one pearl, and the city and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to light it, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May God bless these words to our hearts this morning. We look into verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor unto it. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this verse and chapter of Holy Scripture gives us a window to see into the final glory that awaits us as the Church of Jesus Christ and as believers. The final glory of the Bride of Jesus Christ, the elect Church, and the final glory of each of us as members of that Church. And it pictures to us that one day, when the Lord returns and makes all things new, we shall go through these gates and enter into this city of glory. And what could be better for us on a Sabbath morning to consider? Certainly that would be the case, we would say this morning, for those who are aged, for those who know perhaps today that death is very near to them, struggling with cancer or other terminal diseases. What could be better than to consider the glory that God has promised us? We would say that's also the case for each one of us who are carrying a load of care and are weary in this life and are suffering under many trials and feel in our hearts that we are ready to go home and to be with our Lord, which is far better. And yet we say with the Apostle, to remain is yet needful, for my work evidently is not done, for the Lord has not taken me home. What could be better for all of us this morning than to lift up our eyes and see the glory that has been purchased for us, that has been sworn to be ours, and to set our hope firmly on it? But this is also true for you, children and young people. As a young man and a young woman, you have more miles, humanly speaking, to travel to this city than those who are older. You must go through this world of deception. You must go through this world of temptation. You must go through this world who the devil intends to be for you like a corn maze, and you get lost off the path of Jesus Christ, living in Him, and onto the path that leads to hell. What could ever protect you as a child from sin? And what could protect you as a young person from sin but exactly this sure hope, an eye strong of faith to look ahead to all that is before us in Jesus Christ, to show you the emptiness of this world, the follies of sin, to keep you and to keep me from wasting our life, burning ourselves up on the things of this world which have no profit, but rather living with an eye to the city of light and glory, making us profitable now also to God's people on earth. How much grief can be avoided? How many scars can be escaped? How many woes can be kept from the heart by living with this hope in our hearts? Living not with regret, but living in strength. The world says to this, if they were hearing me preach to you, they would say, there you go again, Christians. You're no good for this world now. You keep talking about pie in the sky, but you don't talk about the world right now. We respond, the opposite is true. If you do not have this hope, you are of no value for this world now. You do not know the purpose of life. It is this hope that directs our feet, our life. And this is our faith. This is what we believe. We believe these words of God. We believe that they have been sealed in His death, the death of our Lord. They have been sealed in His resurrection. And so we set our eye for a few moments this morning on the Holy Scriptures as they speak to us of the day when we shall walk in the city of light. And I would like to explain from the text three things about walking in the city of light. First of all, we'll focus for a major part of the sermon on who they are that will walk in this city. Secondly, we'll focus on what they bring, for we read that the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And it's obviously very important to the Spirit because it's repeated. The last part of verse 24 is repeated in verse 26. They shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. So the second point, what they bring to it. And finally, if only briefly, the worship that we will offer in this city. So first of all, who are those who walk in the city of everlasting and eternal light? And the answer is clear. We read, the nations of them which are saved. And then later, the kings of the earth. And the answer is clear. It's referring to the Catholic. It's referring to the universal Church of God. That church that we confess from Scripture at large is chosen out of every nation, tribe, and tongue, out of every color. And those who by grace have been made kings in Jesus Christ. The universal church, chosen of God and redeemed in the blood, will enter into this city. And so we love the hymn, by the sea of crystals, saints in glory stand, myriads in number, drawn from every land, robed in white apparel, washed in Jesus' blood. They now reign in heaven with the Lamb of God. But before we look a little closer at them, let's just spend a few moments looking and backing up at the city into which we will enter. And we read, the nations walk in the light of it. And the it in verse 24, boys and girls, is the reference to the city. The city that was introduced already in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city. The focus is on this city in the whole chapter. That's the it. Verses 9 and 10, when the angel talks to John, he says, come, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then, last part of verse 10, he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. And constantly thereafter, we read about the walls of the city, and the city is four square, the city. And so the reference is to the city, New Jerusalem. This is then a vision, the city of God, the final glory of the church. This is a vision of that moment that was spoken of by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, the verses 10 and 11, that it was God's eternal purpose from the beginning to gather together all things in one in Jesus Christ. And it's referred to as a city. It's laid out. It's organized. It's a community of the saved in the blood. It's not a literal city. Does not have literal walls, gates, and so on. We know that we cannot conceive of what God has prepared for us. But the idea is that it is a massive thing. It is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is complete in Jesus Christ. Note with me also that the city, the final glory, is described in terms of what it does not have. And it's described in the chapter in terms of what it does not have because, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive what God has prepared for them that love Him. But note with me, it's described mainly in negatives. We read in verse 22, there's no temple there. That is, we will not need to go to some place in this city to have fellowship with God and to worship, but we will have fellowship with God and we will worship with God wherever we are, at all times, when and wherever. Fellowship with God, we read in the third verse, has now come down to its fullness. The tabernacle of God is with men, so that there will no longer be a special building called the temple, but the whole city is the temple of God. The entire new creation is the place of temple and worship. We read secondly that there is no need of the sun there, no need of light there, verse 23 and verse 25, and there shall be no night there. And of course, it might not mean that in the new creation there may well be a sun and a moon and so on. But the point that is being made is that this city does not rely for its light on any external source. There are no utilities there. But the glory of God Himself is light. The very glory that God possesses and the glory that God has given to His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, that glory will be the light whereby we see everything in that place. Now our light is worked through the Word of God. It's worked, we see through grace and through the Word of God and through prayer, but we see dimly. But then that glory will be before us and we'll have no need of any external source of enlightening. We read in the third place that there's no locks there. The gates of it, verse 25, shall not be shut. That means that there's nothing there to bar you from fellowship with God. There's nothing there to hinder you from fellowship with God. There's nothing outside threatening this city. There's no forces outside this city from which can come evil tidings. But we have full access to this grace. There is nothing that blocks us from this grace in Christ. And finally, we read that there is no sin there. That's verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's final city and the final glory that is given to us in Jesus Christ is exactly the difference from this world. This world wants to have a city exactly so that they can boast in their sins. They talk about their red light district, their sex traffic. Cities men boast of because of the sin within those cities. But there will be no sin there. And so we can say, and there will be no sin in us. And so we can say this positively, not just there will be no sin there, but Christ alone will be there. Nothing of man will be there, but the beauty and the grace and the glory and the love and the righteousness of Jesus Christ will be there. But now, having explained that city just a little bit, I do want to focus on who are walking in this city. We read, the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor unto it. And you should be informed, if you don't know this already, that there is much dispute about that phrase, which, as we read it, would say is very plain to us. But nevertheless, there's much dispute over that phrase. And there are two false views that are prominent today in the church. And the first false view is the view of the universalists, who believe that no one is literally going to be left for eternity in hell, but that even those who fall into hell at death will be given a chance to escape, and that the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor onto it, the kings of the earth, they say, these are ungodly people, ungodly kings who went to hell. But then, verse 25, they say, follows, the gate shall not be shut to the city, and therefore there will always be the opportunity and chance that they will come to repentance, and they will now flow into the city of God. This is the view of the late, he's not passed away that I know of, Rob Bell, and the Universalists, and his book, Love Wins, that slowly through time in eternity, hell itself is emptied out, and all get the second chance to enter into glory. But this is the simple denial and twisting of Holy Scripture. You recall with me, children, that the Lord said in His parable of the rich man and Lazarus that there is a great gulf fixed between hell and heaven, and there is no passing between them. In this book, Revelation 16, verse 9, we read these chilling words, verse 9, that those who are in hell, Revelation 16, verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him the glory in hell, though they suffer. They do not repent. And Jesus taught very plainly that hell endures forever. The fire is not quenched. And their teeth gnash. Hebrews 9, verse 27, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and then cometh the judgment. The city of God comes down complete and prepared. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The city comes down prepared. All are taken there at death who are chosen, who are in that Lamb's Book of Life. It comes down as a complete thing. The flames, of hell do not and cannot bring a soul to repentance. Consider those words. That is true. The only power to bring repentance is the grace of God heard in this precious gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ, worked by the Holy Spirit in a person's life. That's the only thing. The only thing that can turn a soul from sin, my soul, is not even the flames of hell, but it's the grace, the sweet grace, the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. And so when we preach to you, and the call of the gospel comes to you and to me, forsake and repent of your sins, we do not take that lightly. We do not play with the gospel. The gospel is flee the wrath that is to come. Repent and believe in Christ. I said there are two false views, and the other one is taught in the Reformed community and in Christian colleges, and thus closer to us and its roots. would be found in common grace. And they interpret that these kings are indeed impenitent, and that they do indeed suffer in hell eternally. But before that happens, these kings of the earth, before they are banished into hell, these kings bring to the city, the eternal city, stuff and drop it off. They say that these kings are the kings of the earth like the ancient civilizations and all the beauty of their culture and all the beauty of their discoveries. They bring honor and glory to God's city. They say that this is a reference then to the cultural products of this world made possible by a common grace of God working in them, so that it's things like Michelangelo's David and Greek sculptures and philosophy and Roman law and paintings, Da Vinci, Mona Lisa, and Shakespeare's sonnets, and the Taj Mahal, and all kinds of things that have been accomplished on earth due to this common grace. And that the calling of the church this morning is to help the world produce these cultural things that are going to fill the New Jerusalem. So that the New Jerusalem, I don't know if you're aware of Art Prize in Grand Rapids every year, 2 years now, all kinds of art is displayed. Artists bring their art to the city of Grand Rapids and it's judged. It's something like Chip Shawani or a flea market. You bring all kinds of things there. And beloved, the Bible is very clear again. And this is so false. Nothing of man, made by man, comes into this city. God alone builds this city out of His own sovereign grace. All the works of men do not enter into this city. 2 Peter 3:10-14, "But the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the world that is there shall be burned up." All the things of this life will be burned up. This is how we can put it. You probably have attended an estate sale or some other sale. You're looking for something that's really valuable. Lamps, a vase. And so you tip it over to see where it was made, whether it was made perhaps in Tiffany's or some place. Well, beloved, when we go to this city and we see figuratively, now I'm speaking figuratively, we pick up whatever is in that city, we take it into our hands, whatever we see in that city, and we tip it over, we will read these words, "Made in the blood of the Lamb, mined from the riches of divine grace." It's all of God. The ones who enter this city, these kings and nations, are not unbelievers. And not unbelievers dropping things off at heaven. But they are the saved out of all nations. They are those who have been made kings and priests unto God. The word nations is found repeatedly in the book of Revelation. Revelation 5 verse 9, there John hears that the nations are singing praises to God. The kings of the earth, maybe that is a great man, a man of authority who's going to be in that final kingdom. But the kings of the earth refer to God's work in Jesus Christ of conforming us as Christians, prophets, priests, and kings. We are made kings in Jesus Christ. Those who enter into the city are those who are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the point here. That's the purpose here. That's the main point. That this final church, composed of the Old and New Testament believers, as we read, the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel, this final church is composed of all time, God's people out of all time, and all nations of the earth, all races, all colors, all ethnicities, all kindreds, peoples out of every land, every age, and nation, who are now one in Jesus Christ. That there is a diversity of grace for all, every race, every man, every culture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the grace of God is that He overcomes the division that man has made in his racism, in his races. Man does not overcome, does not unify. He can't unify the division of races or racism. He simply creates another prejudice over the last prejudice. But Christ, the grace of Christ, gathers the elect church out of all places and all nations of the earth. We preach the gospel to ourselves because we need it. And we preach the gospel wherever and to whomsoever God gives us the opportunity to preach it, knowing that as we are debtors, so also God will take His church from all nations. We need to ask the question then, do you see yourself here? Is this you? These kings of the earth, these nations of the saved, do you find yourself there? Do you trust not in yourself? You don't trust in your color, your race, your social status, your nationality, your roots, that somehow we stand a little above other people. But you see yourself, no, you say, I am an unworthy sinner. That's what you see in that mirror. And you confess that God would not have been unjust to condemn me. Do you trust alone in Christ? Do you know, as a king in Jesus Christ, a battle now in you against your own sins? And do you plant your feet firmly in the church of Jesus Christ among the saints of God? And do you confess Him before this world with a humble faith? We go on now to the second part that I wanted to explain, what they bring. For we read, the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And we've seen that this is not the cultural works of unbelievers. But what is it? And the answer there is also very plain. It is the praise and the thanks that we bring to God, the worship of heart and soul. This is what we will do in glory. We will bring the worship of heart and soul in all that we do. We will bring glory and honor to God in our out of all that we are. What we're reading here is the fulfillment of Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And that is what is being referred to when perfectly now, when the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor to it. These words, glory and honor, are found again repeatedly in the book of Revelation. What is brought to this city? The praise and the glory and honor from our hearts to God. That's what we bring there. To glory is to boast. When you glory in something, you
hold it up. You hold it up to high esteem. You exalt in it. You praise in it. So we bring, we boast, we glory in God and honor. Honor means to stand in awe of something, to be flabbergasted, to not be able to take it in. We bring glory and honor to God. We exalt Him. We honor Him.
This is the contrast that the book of Revelation is making between the worship of the believer by grace and the worship of the unbeliever. In the book of Revelation, we have the constant contrast between the city of God and the city of darkness, Babylon, the church and Babylon. In the book of Revelation, we have the constant contrast between Christ and the devil. And the devil, we learn from the book of Revelation, is always trying to mimic God, to ape God, to do what God does, to counterfeit God. And so the devil twists. He sees what God is doing, and he tries to twist it and make a counterfeit of it. He sees that God sends His Son into the world to build the kingdom of glory, and so He sends into this world the beast, the Antichrist, to build His Babylon, the glorious kingdom of man on earth. He sees that God sends His Holy Spirit into the hearts of His children, so the devil sends his false prophet to sow his spirit into the hearts of the world. He sees that God is building this glorious city, this eternal church, and so he gets busy to build his kingdom, Babylon. He sees that God in grace gathers all peoples in one, in his kingdom. And so he goes out in an effort to unite all the nations of this world in his kingdom. But there's a difference. All the nations that are gathered by the devil into Babylon, the difference is Babylon is fallen, and the city of our God stands forever. We learn from this Word of God that on earth this morning, then, there are two worshipers. Everybody this morning is worshiping. They must worship. There is the worshiper who, apart from the grace of God, brings his worship to the devil, to the beast, worships themselves, denies God. And there are those who, by God's grace, worship God through Jesus Christ and say, "Thou art worthy." To which one of these do you and I belong this morning? Everyone belongs to one or the other. And so we confess the grace of God, that God has put into our hearts this: glory and honor to Him who sits upon the throne. That's what it means to confess faith. You say, glory and honor to God who sits upon His throne. And you don't say that just abstractly, but you say that in every aspect of our lives. This is the purpose of our life now, that we bring glory and honor to God. We do that by standing firm on His promises. We do that by the grace of daily repentance from our sins. We do that by a commitment to the church of God and a love for God. We do that in a life of godliness, in a close walk with God. Then finally, for this morning, I call your attention to the worship. We read, "They shall walk in the city of light." The dominant thing at the moment that we go to heaven and the moment that we will stand when Christ comes in this new city, the dominant thing will be its light. Its light. We have come under that light already. It shines. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That light is the amazing grace of God to a chief sinner. That light is infinite. That light is to us now unimaginable. That light is perfect. That light is sufficient. That light is tender. That light is compassionate and warm. But when you stand in that city, it will be that light. That will be the dominant thing. And you will say, the love of God for me, which passes all understanding. And then we will worship. Walk in the city of light. Walk in Scripture is our life. And so we will worship in all of our life in the new creation. In whatever calling that God gives to us, in whatever work that God gives to us, in whatever responsibilities, in whatever talents, all of our work will be worship. It will not simply be that we worship as members of a choir, but all that we are and all that we do and all that we think will be perfectly fitted for that place, and we will worship Him. This speaks to us this morning. Let us strive to keep our garments clean from anything that would defile. Let us fight against our sin. Let us not partake, join in the kingdom of darkness, but let our purpose be to bring glory and honor to God. For this work of God has begun within us, and we look forward to that day when our sin will fall away and we'll have perfect fellowship with God in Christ. May God bless His word to our hearts this morning. Amen. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that though it is spoken to us in weakness, Thou wilt yet use it in power to the glory of Thy name. Be with each one of us, Lord. Grant us Thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.